will advance.
Ya Rabbana salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi.
We know that the Imam of the Faithfuls, the leader of the Faithfuls, is Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen, the leader of faithful. This is what Amirul Mu'mineen means. So when the people who are the follower of the leader of the faithful, and they're faithful by themselves, obviously, and they are purely following the footsteps of Imam Ali alayhi salam, therefore we can see that this country, this place where these faithful people live, obviously they have done this revolution in order to bring justice in the society, in order to bring justice in the society. Now this is very important, because if justice is there, then obviously people will have a happy life. Although there are many attacks by the enemies, it can be like through the internet, through the media, through the like the soft war or the hard war, it has faced everything. But the thing which has saved this revolution and the next generation who is advancing this revolution are all faithful, and this is the fact why Iran is still advancing in the technology, in the medical sciences, in the economy, in the political system, in all aspects of the life when we look at it. And this is because this is in the hands of the faithful ones.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
As the 2022 Winter Olympics have begun in the Chinese capital, Beijing, two playful giant pandas at the Moscow Zoo have come to the spotlight for predicting the outcome of the sports event. On the eve of the Winter Olympics opening, Ru Yi and Ding Ding were each offered five traffic cones labeled with national flags of the participating countries, represented by the largest numbers of athletes. The cones that got taken down by them were considered as the winners. The pandas then chose the cones with Chinese and German flags on them. Zoo officials say no treats were placed inside the cones to ensure that the prediction is unbiased. The zoo says it plans to continue the panda prediction for all individual and team competitions at the games. Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering on the environment. Now, a Mexican kayaker has decided to launch his own campaign to save the environment. 66-year-old Omar Menchaca usually paddles his single-seater kayak through the floating gardens of the Xochimilco canals near the Mexico City, collecting garbage left by visitors. Menchaca says he normally does the cleanup in the early morning before tourists arrive to the site, using bare hands to pick up debris. The former athlete who did his training for the competitions in the canals says over time he found that the waterways were littered with rubbish.
I knew this place, and I came to this place because here I did my training for my competitions. Unfortunately, over time, I began to notice that some canals were full of rubbish. Xochimilco is very important to me. Xochimilco is considered a World Heritage Site. It does not belong to Mexicans. It is the heritage of all human beings.
Menchaca believes that if people ignore their environment, soon there will be a time when they have nothing to enjoy. He hopes that his efforts to protect wetlands make a small difference and preserve the place for future generations. The Xochimilco site is home to endemic species, including the critically endangered ones, and is usually visited by thousands of people on weekends. The 15th edition of the Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up. As Salman Khojouri reports, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council. Here's more.
The 15th Tehran International Tourism and Handicrafts Exhibition has wrapped up its work. The four-day event brought together representatives of different sectors active in tourism and handicrafts fields, including airlines, cruise lines, hotels, museums, travel agencies, insurance services, travel and tourism facilities, and masters of handicrafts. The exhibition is considered as the most appropriate platform to optimize face-to-face communication among the involved industries. From a tourism point of view, Iran enjoys two important and unique features. The first one is Iran's exceptional geographical location among countries in the world, and the second feature is its tourism attractions of historical, cultural, natural pilgrimage, adventurous, and other sorts.
Qalamzani, or metal engraving, is an Iranian ancient metalwork art. It is engraved by chisels and hammers on different metals such as gold, silver, copper, brass, and some alloys. Its origin dates back to almost 7,000 years ago. It is the art of carving superb designs on various metals. The artistic work of this course made by the artists are the glorious and undeniable indication of previous metal work of Iran, and in particular Isfahan.
I'm from Hormozgan province, south of Iran. Handicrafts have always been an integral part of Hormozgan province due to the rich culture and special customs of the region. Hormozgan province embraces scenic islands, among which Kish, Hormoz, Hengam, and Qeshm are the most beautiful ones and top tourist destinations in southern Iran.
Iran has globally registered 11 cities and 3 villages under their native handicrafts during the past 6 years, making the country a world leader in registering local productions. There are totally 602 handicrafts fields identified on a global scale. 299 fields are special to Iran, from which 199 fields are in the central Iranian province of Isfahan.
With 14 entries, Iran ranks first globally for the number of cities and villages registered by the World Crafts Council, as China, with 7 entries, Chile with 4 entries, and India with 3 ones, come next. Salman Khojouri, Tehran.
Joyous festive mood in East Asia as the region welcomes the Lunar New Year with celebrations, including light and lantern decorations of homes and public avenues. People across China are staging a variety of events to mark the New Year, also known as the Spring Festival. Several cities have held breathtaking light shows, with many landmarks and skyscrapers dazzling with colorful images. In the capital, Beijing, the light shows feature elements of the Winter Olympics as the city is getting ready to host the International Games this week. Elsewhere, Malaysians welcome the Year of the Tiger with an underwater lion dance performance in an aquarium in the capital, Kuala Lumpur. The citizens have welcomed the return of the annual event, which had been called off the previous year due to COVID-19 restrictions.
A lot happier as compared to during the lockdown period where you're alone and you do things alone. You feel very lonely, right? Now that you get to be in touch with your family, yeah, it's a lot better.
even though we still keep the social distance, but however, I feel the freedom to go out and visit and do the things that I like to do.
Celebrations are also underway in Hong Kong, Taiwan and Indonesia. The Lunar New Year, seen as a time of reunion and rebirth, is celebrated by more than 2 billion people worldwide, especially amongst Asian communities. The festivities last for over a fortnight.
Stunning light shows and hanging lanterns have illuminated cities across China to welcome the new Lunar Year, also called the Spring Festival. The city of Zigong has taken the spotlight with a sea of lanterns, turning it into a scene straight out of a fairy tale. The city is famous for lantern making and brings a festive mood this time around every year. The lanterns are usually made in all kinds and shapes, including legendary creatures representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, which is decorated vividly on special couplets. The New Year festivities officially begin on Tuesday and will continue for 15 days. The Lunar New Year is considered the largest migration of people in the world, as millions travel back to their towns and villages to mark the event.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Sub-zero temperatures in the Midwestern U.S. haven't held anglers back from participating in the world's largest charitable ice fishing contest. Some 10,000 people from across the world gathered in the state of Minnesota to put their ice fishing skills to test. They dug thousands of holes in Gull Lake in a matter of hours. Some $200,000 in prizes were up for grabs in the contest. The volunteer-led annual event has so far raised about $4 million for 67 charities since it was first held in 1991. Beryl Carr is a special volunteer at a hospital in London. What makes her special, you might wonder? Well, the fact that she celebrated her 100th birthday last month. Carr has been volunteering in Ealing Hospital for more than 18 years. She works in the hospital's cafe and says her work is her lifeline. This incredible 100-year-old lady says she enjoys helping those who are not as fortunate as she is, and that she has no intentions of retiring. The hospital staff say her presence has been very motivating.
Many of us look at her. She's always got a smile on her face, a swagger as she walks. And you come back from a clinic or a ward round, you're absolutely tired, and she just inspires you as soon as you see her.
Even the coronavirus pandemic has not stopped Carr from volunteering. Born in a nearby town, Carr says she moved back to the neighborhood more than two decades ago after the death of her husband. When asked about the secret to her long and healthy life, she refused to answer, saying she's not planning on revealing that secret. A surprise in a Chinese zoo ahead of the Lunar New Year. 15 rare golden tigers make debut in front of excited fans. A large group of visitors gathered in China's Yellow River Delta Zoo to watch the rare animals. This zoo is the largest breeding base for golden species of tigers across China. The animals are being strictly protected amid fears surrounding their extinction. The golden tigers are a variant of Bengali tigers with rare color variations, including black strips. They are no longer extant in the wild.
The most powerful telescope ever built in the world is now at its final destination in space. After traveling for nearly 1 month, NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has reached its final parking spot in space, which is approximately a million miles away from Earth. The mission of the tennis court-sized telescope is to explore the cosmos and better understand the early days of the universe. The $10 billion telescope will also carefully monitor faraway exoplanets and study the atmospheres of planets outside our solar system. It's more advanced than NASA's iconic Hubble telescope. The streets in the Taiwanese capital are decorated vividly to welcome the Year of the Tiger beginning on February the 1st. Residents are using tiger sculptures and totems to adorn the streets of Taipei. Shops are booming as people head out to buy special couplets ahead of the new year, also called the Spring Festival. Many are hoping they can completely defeat COVID-19 this year, as celebrations were scaled down due to the pandemic last year. The Chinese New Year is celebrated by almost 2 billion people across the world, though mainly in Asia. There are 12 animals representing each lunar year on the Chinese calendar. This year's zodiac is the tiger, a symbol of strength and power. A national zoo in Washington is now home to a new quill-covered resident, the second offspring of a porcupine family. Zoo staff reported the birth of the porcupet earlier this month during a snowstorm. They say they are awaiting a DNA analysis to reveal more information about the baby porcupine. Its brother is now 4 years old. The two siblings are the fourth generation of this family to live in the zoo's mammal house. These animals are born with the ability to climb and look almost identical until they are 6 months old. Natives of South America, these creatures are one of the 18 porcupine species that exist in the world today. The house in Colombia has become a hotspot for tourists. It's built in a unique way, and if you want to enter the house, you have to first walk on the ceiling leading to the door. The upside-down house is named Casa Loca and is located in Guatavita, a short distance from the capital, Bogota. Tourists can be seen walking around taking pictures of this exceptional structure. Many say it fills them with joy to visit such places. Some tourists say this has provided them a chance to gain some relief from the struggles of the pandemic.
We've come from a pandemic. We've emerged from a lockdown. So this helps people have a moment of relaxation with a novelty that we did not have. You have fun while snapping photos. It puts your mind at ease.
The Austrian creator of Casa Loca says he first got the idea to build a house when he was visiting a similar place in his country back in 2015. He says his grandchildren were stunned by the creation, and that's why he decided to make an upside-down house in Colombia, where he lives now. He says people initially thought he was mad, but he decided to accomplish his plan anyway. The pandemic slowed him down a bit, but he proudly inaugurated the place 3 weeks ago.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sayyid Mohsen. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today's topic is different of opinion in Islam. Unfortunately, today in the media, especially in the Western one, they show the Muslims as the barbaric, violent ones. The ISIS form of the Islam is shown to the world. So whoever who is different from us, takfir him, excommunicate him out of the religion of Islam, kill him, you know, behead him, or something like that. Is the religion of Islam does not respect different opinions from him because it is a revelation of Allah or it is rooted in divinity?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I think we should differentiate between state and non-state here as well. Very important that does Islam have its state or not? Now, I'm going to talk about the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. During the time of Imam Sadiq, Imam Sadiq would come and disagree with atheists. He would debate with atheists. Not one time did he disrespect him or, for example, order to, for his killing or stuff like that. And the thing is that when you have this open, you know, debate for ideas, some people truly have questions. They truly want to reach the reality. On the other hand, there are some people who know. They know what the truth is, but they still want to fight the truth for their own good, for their own gains. Yes. They're making a movement. Okay. That movement is kind of dangerous.
Yes.
You have to cut it off, especially if you have a state, you have a ruling where you're controlling the society. Society has to follow these laws. You know these laws are divine laws. These divine laws are the ones that are going to make human beings reach to the perfection or that utopia that all humanity dreams of. And you see someone coming to fight these ideas. When you see that, you have to stand forward and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why in some situations, when new ideas come that are, you know, with misconceptions, we fend them off.
Yes.
How we fend them off? We write our own books or we fight them back with, with debates and stuff like that, right? If they continue to come and continue to drive people and they make their claims personal and they make their claims and arguments something of making fun of the, you know, of the ideas that we have, it's not intellectual, it's not scientifical, it's not academical.
Okay.
During that time, we cannot allow someone to make fun of our religion or our laws. We cannot make our laws something silly or a joke. Our religion is not a joke. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we must cut them off in any means. And you understand what any means.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, we can have different opinions. We can come and try to talk about these different opinions. What's wrong with that, academically speaking? Do not make fun of others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't reach it to a point where you return to, you become Daesh or ISIS. And don't make it to a point where you become France, where you're allowed to make fun of everyone and everything, so-called, in the name of so-called democracy.
France, which France you mean?
France.
France. Okay, France. Okay, France. Yeah, I'm looking at, okay, the cartoons you said.
Yeah, I'm talking about the cartoons.
Yes.
They believe in this democracy that you can make fun and do whatever you want. No, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, it's not a game. It's a religion, it's society. People, you know, we say, saying it is easy, but living it, it's at all different level.
Okay.
We're talking about justice in society. You know, when someone steals, you know, when you hear about someone being robbed, it's not like when someone robs you.
Mm-hmm.
When someone robs you, you feel it. You feel the need for it.
Yes.
Us, our societies, especially in the Middle East, unfortunately, we feel that need for justice more than any other place. It's not a game of fun and manners. We're talking about religion. We're talking about law here.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Especially when you look at the seerah of Prophet Muhammad and the Fallible Imams, how they face difference of opinions at the time, or observing the rights of even the non-Muslims on that land. You know,
that's the thing, that so
through the laws.
Unfortunately, okay. some people state that Islam wants to, you know, ISIS want to, because they only saw ISIS. They haven't seen the Shia. I'm talking about this with a burn in my heart.
Okay.
They haven't seen the Shia, the true Shia rule, how it is. Look at Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example. The Christians are living very well in Tehran. They're very happy. I even know people who are from the Jewish religion living in Qom.
Yes, we have deputies in our majlis, in our parliaments.
They are living here. They are living here and they are doing their lives normally. True, they have to follow the laws of Islam. Why? Because it's a religious country. It's a religious constitute. It's law. It's law for God's sakes. They believe that this law is the thing that is perfect. They believe this law is the correct law.
Yes.
That is why you cannot break the law in America.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot break the laws in America. You cannot break the laws in Britain unless you're in the parliament and you can go party after 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're burning in salt in your wounds.
Okay, that's all right. So different minorities are living in Iran, peaceful coexistence, we could see in Iran. They have their own representatives.
They have
in
a church, parliament. For God's sake.
They have church, yeah. The, you know, We got, you know, Christ's birthday, December 25th, recently, you know, in Tehran. They got it, you know, that we have the Kalimis or Asterians, you know, different religions in Iran, and they're living happily over here. So, is really a difference of opinion a bad thing, Sayyid Mohsen?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, difference of opinion is a natural thing.
Okay.
Which has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to everyone. Because if I talk about something, I explain about something, and if I want to ask in a class where we have 10 people, 10 students, to write this thing the way I said, all of them will write the same thing with different ways.
Yes.
So basically there is a difference. Obviously everyone thinks differently. But if everyone would have think about the things in the same way, we wouldn't have any kind of differences, and there was no need of having these governments and all those things and revelations and the guidance or making even laws. Because if everyone was thinking about a peace or would prefer peace, if it was the case, then we shouldn't have like the corrupt people in the, in the world or the black market or other things as well.
Okay.
So therefore, there are some people, there's a difference of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The difference of opinion itself is not a bad thing. The problem is how to tackle this difference of opinion. The respect of difference of opinion, if it is really a difference of opinion and it's because of something which is really based on some knowledge or theory, then obviously there is an answer for it.
Okay.
And we should answer it according to the, like, you know, logically you should answer it. And within the educated, you know, the within the premises of an education, or, you know, scholarly answers should be given to the difference of opinion. But when this difference of opinion gets involved into, you know, rationalism, for example, it gets involved into the people's, you know, sensation or, you know, their relations towards a specific thing, then obviously it gets, you know, rational, it gets something which is dangerous. And there, then people do not have any respect of each other. And on your first question, I have an objection that when you started with the Islam, that some people takfir and some people do not do that. It is generally in the world. Don't just give an example of Islam because
This is the picture which is shown out of the religion of Islam.
The problem is it is in every religion. It is even those who are not following religion, they also have this thing.
Okay,
they also have this, you know, this extremism in themselves. For example, if we talk about the Zionist regime, if you talk about their system, you know how they're talking about the countries who are talking against them. You cannot talk about the Holocaust on the media. You cannot talk against the system or do any action.
That's right.
Or, you know, even the freedom of speech is not the freedom in a way it should in the West. You know, they stop you, they kick you out if you are an anchor or maybe a radio, we can say like a producer.
Especially the cancel society, you know, they're becoming snowflakes.
Especially the experts of the radio shows.
So it's everywhere. It's not about the Islam itself. The question is wrong. I just oppose the question that you put on.
This is everywhere, but the case is that why?
Islamophobia is another fact. Because they're doing that because of Islamophobia. They want
why Islam is shown as a non-tolerant one?
Well, because Islam is the perfect religion, and the other religions, because they're not answerable to the needs of the people, and obviously they cannot
take...
There's
also that self-pride that the Muslims have, that pride, you know, al-izz, you know, that pride that Muslims have where, you know, we know ourselves, we have that confidence of our religion, unlike some other religions. I was actually surprised when I was debating the other day, you know, it was like, not debating, I was just asking questions about with Jewish people, actually. And they were kind of, you know, I felt them, they were shaky. They were shaking when they were talking. And they're like, oh, we're not sure, we're not certain, I don't know. And at the end of the day, I felt that when you talk to a Muslim, he talks with so much belief. Is it because of them being from the Middle East? We have that much confidence. But then I said, no, this person is a Jewish person, lives in Palestine, nowadays Palestine. And now that he was talking, you know, first with confidence, then when I started asking about his beliefs in God and the attributes of God and stuff like that, he became shaky. And I haven't seen religion, you know, with such confidence when it brings up its beliefs other than Islam. And I believe that al-azzatu lillah, alhamdulillah wa shukr, you know, it's strange to the Muslims.
Okay. I think we have in Surah Hujurat, ayah 13, that
We have created you from different nations and tribes in order to identify.
Yes.
No, well, the purpose is in order to identify and know each other better, isn't
yeah.
it? So this difference of opinions, races, languages.
Difference of opinions, I said it before, that the lifestyles differ, you know. Mm-hmm. There's this saying I've been looking for a long time. And the story of me reading is a very nice story, actually. I was going to a majlis, and then I went into the Marashi Najafi library. It's a long story short. I opened the book, and the first thing that came up to my eyes was that the way that the imam used to respect people who were from outside the Arab lands, the Persians, it was different from the ways that he would respect the people from the Arab lands. That really just popped up to my mind, that there are some, you know, let's say notions, ideas that, for example, in the Arabic, if you stand up, it's a sign of respect. Kissing the hand is a sign of respect for the knowledges and scholars. In the West, for example, it's kind of a respect that you don't stand up. Because if you stand up, it's kind of like you're scared of him, right?
Yes.
The way that you greet, like shaking the hands, sometimes it's two kisses, sometimes it's three kisses. Are you two kisser or three kisser?
Three kisses. During pandemic, non-kisses.
Not non-kisses.
Non-kisses.
During pandemic.
We are huggers. So whenever we are getting to a party in Iran, you know, we have to kiss and shake hands with all the men over there.
No problem. Yeah. Look, what I want to say here is that there are different ethics.
Okay.
Cultures. Etiquettes. You know, the food that we eat really just displays that this different ethics, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I realized this when my friend married a Syrian woman, right? He said, Habib, I can't live with her anymore. I told him why. He said that she doesn't make any rice. She only makes sandwiches.
Oh.
Yeah, they eat so little rice. They don't eat any rice. It's from our culture that we eat rice. And that really just shows you that the difference of culture, how it is. And that really just shows you that the difference of our opinions, even though they are different to some extent, at the end of the day, there might be, you know, those larger notions of respect, of humbleness.
Yes.
The way that being humble, what the Prophet did is different than the way of being humble, for example, in the Arab manner is different than the way of being humble in the American manner, for example. And, you know, even the FBI have this. I seen it on YouTube, actually. Okay. And the way that you hold flowers is different. You hold flowers because in society it's rude to hold flowers like this. Yes. So you hold it the opposite manner in Eastern Europe.
Thank you, my Said Mohsen and Brother Habib, for your presence in the program. Viewpoints on Difference of Opinion. It was very kind of you. And thank you, Masjid listeners, for listening to us. More information. Visit our website at parstory.com/ and Call of Islam page, also YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi aman Allah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I, when I have you, to doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. As I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وما أرسلنا قبلك من المرسلين إلا إنهم ليأكلون الطعام ويمشون في الأسواق وجعلنا بعضكم لبعض فتنة أتصبرون وكان ربك بصيرا
And we did not send before you, O Muhammad, any of the messengers except that they ate food and walked in the markets. And we have made some of you people as trial for others. Will you have patience? And ever is your Lord seeing.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing the 20th verse of the chapter. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ and we never sent any messengers before you, but they certainly ate food and walked in the markets. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We have made some of you a trial for the others. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Will you bear patiently? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. And your Lord is ever-seeing. Formerly, we discussed the occasion of revelation for this holy verse and the fact that this verse was sent down and made clear that the method of the Prophet of Islam is the same as the former prophets, and he will live as they lived among the people. And it's not meaningful to claim that since he can walk in the markets and he eats food like the other human beings, he cannot be a prophet. In fact, eating food like other men, going into market and doing the things that other people do will cause him to associate with people more, will cause him to get to know the different lifestyles of the people, and this will help him to carry out his missions better. Living the same as people do is a kind of help for him. Anyway, in the middle of the verse, it is said, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We have made some of you a trial for the others. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Will you bear patiently? This trial may be in this way, that prophets are to be human and selected from oppressed people. And this is a great test, because some people refuse to obey and take order from their fellow creatures. Specifically, the one who is financially at a lower level. And they are, from this viewpoint, at higher level, or older, or more famous in society. So anyway, they have the tendency not to obey his rules. Another possibility for this trial mentioned in this verse is that its purpose is to test people generally by each other. Because disabled people, the sick, the orphans, they're all a test for those who are rich and healthy. And on the contrary, healthy and rich people are a test for the poor and the sick. Are the members of the second group contented by the Almighty Allah's will? Do the first group shoulder the responsibility for carrying the second group? Since these two commentaries are in line with each other, it is possible that both of them are included in the extensive concept of this verse, as we have always mentioned.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Then, next to this statement, all the people are addressed and they are asked, أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Will you bear patiently? The most important pillar of victory and success in these trials is patience. It's a resistance. Resisting unrestrained desires that prevent accepting the truth. Enduring the difficulties that are faced at the time of doing duties and performing missions. In fact, being patient with all the calamities and painful events in the world. This is the real test, to which the only key of success is to bear patiently. Patience. In almost all cases, it is only with the power of patience and endurance that you can succeed in passing this great test. At the end of the verse under discussion, as a warning, the Holy Quran says, وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا, and your Lord is ever-seeing. Never imagine that Allah sees none of your behaviors and deeds. He knows everything in the world. His knowledge operates in minute detail, and nothing is hidden from him. He sees and he knows everything precisely. Your Lord is aware of how you will pass this test with your patience. In fact, it might be telling us this fact, that if you pay attention to that, to this fact that your Lord is ever seeing, this might cause some patience in you. This will cause you to bear the difficulties more patiently. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is also in the art of law.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 6th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And here, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate you on the 10 days done. That is the period marking the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979. Congratulations to all freedom-seeking and all justice-seeking people around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. Actually, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us, an electronic kind of QSL. So, here, I send my warm appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, and Bill McDavid from the U.S. So, Rob, Kurt, and Bill, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And of course, we've received so many letters and emails from around the world, which some of them focus on the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. It's a congratulation message. It's such a great email as I can see it. Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands also has sent us an email. Tausif Abbas from Pakistan has also congratulated the anniversary of the victory of Islamic Revolution. Muhammad Khaku, one of our regular listeners from the U.S., has sent us an email congratulating the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. And the last but not the least is an email from India from Mukesh Kumar. So, after a short break, I will be back with these great emails from around the world. Stay with us, please. So we start today's emails and letters with an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, one of our old and regular listeners. It's such a long email, so let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, as a long-time regular listener to the useful and informative programs of IRIB English Radio and a well-wisher of Iran, I take this opportunity to wish all Iranian people my best wishes and felicitations on the happy occasion of the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. February 11th is an important day in the annals of the cherished Iranian history. I understand that in 1979, on this very day, the despotic rule of the Shah of Iran was overthrown to establish the modern Islamic state of Iran, led by the able and dynamic leadership of Imam Khomeini, God bless his soul. It is a fact of wonder and appreciation that despite 43 long years of illegal and immoral sanctions of the U.S. and other Western powers, the heroic and dynamic people of Iran have been largely successful in making sustained growth and development in various spheres of human activity. The world has acknowledged the prowess of Iranian research and expertise in agriculture, science, and technology. Today, Iran can proudly demonstrate its spectacular advancement in space and nanotechnology, nuclear energy, medicine, agriculture, engineering, and other high-tech sectors. It has also been largely successful in fighting the menace of the COVID pandemic. Present-day Iran is a regional power and a responsible country in the Committee of Nations. I wish Iran and its hard-working and intelligent citizens a bright future in the days ahead. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And many thanks for writing such a great email. And thank you very much for sending us this congratulatory message about the the 43rd anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979. And actually, I was surprised by the bulk of knowledge and information you had about the Islamic Republic of Iran and its advancements, its developments. And it was great, as you said, Iran can proudly demonstrate its spectacular advancements in space and nanotechnology, nuclear energy, medicine, agriculture, engineering. And it shows that you are following up the developments in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And of course, you are following up the news in IRIB English Radio. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, many thanks again for writing this email. Write to us soon, and we are looking forward to hearing from you, and we are waiting for such great emails from you about IRIB English radio broadcast and, of course, the developments in Iran. So we go to another email from Rob Dan Boer from the Netherlands. Rob from the Netherlands says, "Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, I'm glad to confirm your broadcast today. That is 6040 kilohertz here in the city of Hainaut, the Netherlands. I heard at 1945 UTC a female telling a religious story about Islam in English language, which I found it quite interesting. Please verify my report by your EQSL. Thank you very much. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Iran to you, Rob Dan Boer from the Netherlands. We are so happy to have this email from you. So you heard our broadcast at the information you mentioned in this email, and you heard a story about Islam in English language, which you found it very interesting, and it's great. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Thank you very much for writing this email to us, Rob Den Boer from Netherlands. Write to us soon, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. We are waiting for your views about the programs of IRIB English Radio. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Tausif Abbas from Pakistan, one of our regular listeners. So here we have another congratulation message on the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. And this time, this congratulation message is from Tausif Abbas from Pakistan. Let's see what he says. "Greetings and congratulations on the occasion of the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Republic of Iran to you all. What impresses me about your revolution is that how one individual changed the whole dynamics of the West Asia region in particular and the world in general. How selflessness of the leader can achieve such a success and can result in ousting of dictators and oppressors. The outstanding features of Imam Khomeini, God bless his soul, as the person were selflessness, the vision, the spirituality, the humbleness to others, kindness and to others, and many others. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Tausif Abbas from Pakistan, and many thanks for writing this message, and thank you for sending us this congratulatory message on the occasion of the 43rd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. And it was kind of you to express, such information about Iran and actually the selfless and matchless personality of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, late Imam Khomeini.